Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I'm excited today because guess who's with me?
Howdy.
My husband of 38 years, best friend and partner in business, love, and life. And absolutely the expert when it comes to intellectual property. And we've worked very closely in all of our companies as it relates to really bringing the best of his talent and my talent together. And it's fun and I love working with him. But one of the things that we wanted to do in this podcast is that we actually do a three-part series with Mike related to intellectual property. So there's one of identifying it, which includes competitive advantage, and that's today. So this is number one. And then the second one will be understanding how to protect your intellectual property. So he's gonna go basically across the top of the various categories and give you some basic elements. And then the third one, we're gonna talk about how you leverage that, means how you make money from your intellectual property. We're gonna talk about how we have in the past and other ideas and opportunities that you have for your own intellectual property. And so that's three segments. And so today is going to be the first one, and that is understanding your competitive advantage and identifying your intellectual property. So, Michael, thank you for giving us your time.
You're very welcome. Did you want me to say something?
He always complains that he gets one word in for my 38, but you're going to see something different for the next three sections. So let's talk about competitive advantage.
Let's talk about competitive advantage. What are we talking about when we're referring to competitive advantage? Okay, it's very simple. It's whatever it is that makes your customers want to do business with you instead of going down the street to the other guy. Or it's something that gives you an economic advantage, makes your margins better. That's competitive advantage. Okay, you can find it anywhere in your business.
The other thing is, you guys have heard me say this many, many times. The most successful businesses solve a problem or serve a need. Well, inside your business, as you are growing your business, if you encounter a problem and you come up with a solution, that's
potential intellectual property. Of anything that's unique, different, better, or distinctive can be the source of competitive advantage. And you want to dissect your business and identify those things.
It could be higher quality. It could be cheaper.
It's right? Whatever your customers think is better. If they think it's better, it's better. It gives you an advantage. They go to buy your stuff instead of your competitors. Now, how do you find this in your business? Again, you dissect it. You take a look at all the different aspects of your business. You look at the products that you have, the things that you're giving to your customers, your services, that's the interaction with the customer, your business processes, all the internals, anything that's unique, better, different, you want to try to protect. And when I say protect, I mean get exclusive rights to it.
And understand that when you have identified it, you want to go to the next step, which we're going to talk about in the next podcast, and how to protect it. Because if you don't protect it, then anybody else can use it.
Yeah. I mean, having the best product in the world doesn't do you a bit of good if your competitors can copy whatever it is that makes it best as soon as you put it on the marketplace. So you need to establish exclusive rights to whatever it is that makes it best. It needs to be a sustainable competitive advantage. I mean, there are all sorts of things that can give you a competitive advantage. Being the only hardware store in a 100-mile area gives you a competitive advantage against hardware stores outside of that 100 miles. Okay, and that's great. And as long as you're the only one there, you've got a competitive advantage. The problem is you can't stop somebody else from moving in next door to you.
So for instance, in the example, this is a challenge. A lot of smaller communities were against the big box stores moving in because they felt like they were going to undercut the prices of the small mom and pops and they couldn't compete on price. And so what many of them did to stay competitive and successful was they created more of an experience that the big box stores didn't have, right? So that really gave them their competitive advantage over the big box stores.
That's right. Their relationship with their customers, their goodwill, gave them a competitive advantage because the customers knew they could trust them. They knew that they were going to be treated fairly and welcomed.
Now, when we talk about intellectual property, in our program, the essential components of a successful business that is available online through my website, we go a much deeper dive into this, and this is the intellectual property checklist. But for the purposes of what we're doing, talking about today, is we really want to identify your name, your logo, of course. Do you have a unique trade dress, colors, your database, right? Anything that's unique about your business is intellectual property, and there's various ways to protect it. But first you want to identify it, and you also want to create it, right?
Yeah, you want to start out with the idea of creating intellectual property. Work it into your business processes. Look for ways that you can make yourself distinctive. I mean, you're always going to want to have a better product than the other guys, or come up with some process that gives you an economy, makes it cheaper to build or cheaper to sell.
And identifies assets. Remember my favorite word, assets. And the thing about intellectual property is, a company that's been around for a while, a lot of their intellectual property is an intangible value. So it may not be on your books, but when you want to go and sell your company, the valuation of that intellectual property is going to take your sales price from here to way up here.
That's that goodwill we were talking about.
And that's, we talk 30 years ago or 35 years ago, the Fortune 500 companies, only 20% of the valuation was in intangible assets or intellectual property. 80% was in bricks and mortar, property, plant, and equipment. And today, that's flipped. Less than 20% of the valuation of today's corporate Fortune 500 companies is in hard assets. Mm-hmm. Over 80% is in intangible assets. And that's what's helped level the playing field, because today we have the more ability to compete with the big boys because of the internet, because of intangible assets, and because of intellectual property. Now you are already an expert, we've established that, and so to be able to leverage your expertise, we want you to create intellectual property. So write a book or create programs. Creating intellectual property allows you to build that asset that stands apart from you. And you can make money from it.
What you'll find is that every successful business creates intellectual property. They may not recognize it as such, but they create it. The trick is to protect it and to be able to leverage it.
So as you've been listening to this and rewind, start writing out, make a list of the things that you already identify as your intellectual property. Because when we come back for the second and third installments, you'll be able to see how to take that, protect it, and then leverage it. But again, intellectual property is called IP sometimes. They should use the initials. But intangible assets, all of those things are what you want to really focus on, because that's the light bulb. Remember, go back to solving a problem or serving a need.
Again, you want to look for anything that's distinctive, anything that's different, anything that's better, anything that you tout in your marketing. There's got to be a reason why you do that. So you want to try to protect that. Anytime you solve a problem, think about it. There's a likelihood that your competitors are going to encounter that same problem. So if you're able to get exclusive rights to that, then you're way ahead of the game.
And not just exclusive rights. Exclusive rights can be related to industry, location, all of those things. For instance, when we were doing Rich Dad, we had the ability to do exclusive rights and be able to license that take our intellectual property and restrict that to people in certain geographic locations or in certain industries. Yeah.
What you're doing is you're turning a competitive advantage into an intellectual property asset. And then you're able to leverage that and use that as a tool to bring in additional income.
I've said before, when we were at the height of our success at Rich Dad, you know, we were millions and millions of dollars every month, and we had only 15 people on the payroll, and yet we had over 5,000 people working with us. And we're going to talk about that in part three when we talk about leveraging and making money from your intellectual property. But, you know, it sounds like a big word. Just as an aside, I have a little joke. Years ago, when we first moved to Arizona, the firm had just brought in, and Michael came in to bring intellectual property practice into the firm. And one of the wives said, "Well, my husband's intellectual." She didn't understand the meaning of intellectual property, so I always laugh about that and remember it. Intellectual property is what comes from here, right here, those 6 inches between your ears. And that's what gives you the ability to compete with the big boys and to continue. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no end to it. I mean, you know, I've written 22 books, always creating something that can live outside of you. So think about it that way.
Yeah. Now, the big boys have got one huge competitive advantage. They've got access to capital. So they're able to apply that capital in competitive situations. They can take advantage of opportunities, flood the market with product, flood the market with advertising. What can you do as a little guy to go head to head with them? The only thing, as a practical matter, that you can do is have intellectual property and the exclusive right to that intellectual property to stop them from just rolling right over you.
And that is a perfect lead-in to our part two of this intellectual property series, because in part two, we're going to talk about how to protect it. And when you're a little guy, if you don't protect it, the big guys that come in with a lot of money and a lot of established market can just run right over you. And that's, you know, it used to be, I remember years ago, people would say, well, you know, I don't need to spend the money to protect my IP. I'm fast and lean. I'm speed to market is what it's all about.
I used to. Every time I heard that, I wanted to puke. You're not talking about a sprint here. You're talking about a marathon. And it's a relay marathon because people are passing the baton. There are a lot of smart people out there, a lot of smart people. And they can start from what you've already provided to the marketplace. They're not starting from scratch. So there's no way that you're just going to be able to outrun the competition.
No way you're going to be able to outrun the competition unless you've taken the steps to protect your competitive advantage.
Yeah, and there you're building forts. You're not trying to outrun them.
So take a moment and rewind and listen to this again. Watch and listen and start taking notes about your existing business as to what intellectual property you already have, because you have a lot that you haven't even thought about.
Yeah. Again, take a look at exactly what you're doing, every aspect of your business, and look at what makes it work. What is it that gives you an advantage? What makes it more economical?
Your operations manual is intellectual property, how you do your business. And the fact that you might have found a way to do something quicker, gives you that competitive advantage, and that's something that you have the opportunity to make sure you consult with the right people.
A little company called Amazon made a business out of that. They were able to do things more quickly. They had a better fulfillment system. It was just that simple.
Well, let's look at Uber. Let's look at Airbnb. They created systems that would allow them to be the largest hotel reservation Airbnb without owning any real estate. You know, Uber, the largest taxi service without owning any cars. And so those are things that they created systems that they could protect and then leveraged it in a large way. So everyone has the opportunity to look at how you can expand and create additional intellectual property to allow you to establish more assets. Those assets will be in your balance sheet, working for you. And it's like every dollar you get, you put in your asset column. Every intellectual property asset is there working for you. It's like your employee. So we want to help you continue to create additional intellectual property assets. So thank you for watching us. Thank you, Michael. Stay tuned. We're going to look just like this. We're not going to change clothes because we're going to do section 2 and 3 right here as we're sitting here. And the second part of this intellectual property series, we're going to be talking about protecting that intellectual property that you've identified. So thank you so much for watching. Thank you, Michael. Mm-hmm. And have a fantastic day and come back for segment number 2 of this 3-part series. Bye. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.